So let's play with some examples. I got treatment one, treatment two, and control. I've got a p-value that means that I've got a difference there somewhere. Now, there's two different things that people get told at this point. Either they say, and we don't know where the difference is. Or, a little more honestly, we're pretty sure there's a difference between the smallest mean and the biggest mean because there's one somewhere. It is possible to mess around with the numbers enough, moving around means and standard deviations and ends, so that I can show you a data set that doesn't have an omnibus effect, but does have at least one pairwise. It's possible to do that, but it doesn't happen that often. Typically, you've got a difference. You know you've got a difference between the biggest and the smallest number. The question is, where does 40 fit in here? Is 40 different than 50? Is 40 different than 35? What's going on? So the first thing we do is we compute the pairwise mean differences. And that really is just the mean difference. Difference between 50 and 40 is 10. 40 and 35 is 5. 50 and 35 is 15. And then, magically from somewhere, there's a minimum mean difference. Now we're going to show you a bunch of different ways of doing this. Some of which are almost by hand, except you don't have to calculate this miserable thing by hand. It's written into the computator. Other times, the computer statistical package will do it for you. A couple of different ways that we'll have to choose among. But from somewhere, we get a notion of how big must a mean difference be to be treated as reliably mean different. Nothing's changed. This is the same thing we were talking about. Every significance test is basically, is the relationship in the sample strong enough to act like there's a relationship in the population? Here it just comes down to a number, not a p-value or a critical value, but just, it almost seems like we're doing shit different, but we're not. It's just a number, and that's the number that tells us whether that difference in the sample is big enough to treat as a difference in the population. So literally what we're saying is, any mean difference bigger than 7 gets treated as probably really there. Anything less than 7 probably isn't really there. And so we would say that the 10-point difference between treatment 1 and treatment 2 is significant. Between treatment 1 and control, that 15-point difference is significant. And that 5-point difference between treatment 2 and control is not significant. Now we have a data pattern. If we start with a research hypothesis, the first thing that we want to do is express the research hypothesis as pairwise comparisons because, tell me if you've heard this before, most research hypotheses end up being a set of pairwise comparisons. So the treatments will be equivalent to each other and both will lead to higher scores than the control. Now, this, I think, is an important step. It's hard to see it as an important step in the simplest of situations, but as things get ugly, it will be increasingly useful. This is the research design, because that's the design that tells us where our data came from. We've got four conditions. We know what they are. Data come from those conditions. Then we also have the analytic design. That's the analytic design. Those are all the analyses we're going to do to fully explicate the pattern of the data. Now, we might not need all of those for a particular research hypothesis, but they're all there. So, research design, analytic design. We're going to keep talking about in that language because it's really, really helpful, especially when designs get big and ugly, like about February. Determine the pairwise comparisons. We have two treatments, and we've got a control, and we figure out how the research hypothesis fits on each of those. Now again, remember, research hypotheses are often some mix of the data pattern and causal and associative language. For this, we don't care whether that's causal or associative language in the research hypothesis. We could be talking about this group has higher scores than this, We could be saying this treatment produces higher scores than that. Nah, doesn't matter. What we're talking about right now is data patterns. Results section stuff. Causal interpretability, causal language, associative language, that stuff bounces from the methods section where we defend what we can and can't do to the discussion section where we use that language. We have a significant effect. And so we know that there's a pattern here somewhere. We lay out the pairwise mean differences. We go get ourselves a minimum mean difference. And now we have the ability to test our hypotheses. This difference is not significant. This difference is. This difference is not significant. The step that we'll insist on homeworks and things is that you lay this all out. And I really recommend that you do this. I do this after running I don't know how many thousand ANOVAs. I used to keep a little card where I marked off each thing that I did for each statistical model. And when I covered the back and front of the fifth card at the end of the second year, I decided I was probably done counting for a while. You've got the research hypothesis, you've got the results, and then it's as simple as do the pointies match. And so here we would have what we would call partial support. We supported the hypothesized null between treatment one and treatment two. We supported the hypothesized different or performance of treatment one over control. We did not support the hypothesized difference of treatment two over control. Now that we have multiple conditions and multiple pairwise comparisons, now, for the first time, we can have partial support of an ANOVA hypothesis. Thought so. I believe I am missing a Marvin.